Why bad things happen to good people. Boy, that is swinging for the theodicial fences there. Pastor, hopefully you can explain that one.
Because all people are bad.
All right. You can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your word and your spirit to be changed, to be made new, and to see you in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. All right, young boys, take note. This is going to be like the gory part of the sermon. It's sad, though. You can imagine Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching his disciples. There's a big crowd all around him. And all of a sudden, some people come running up. And they hear the breaking news, and it kind of does in those cases. It starts to filter through the crowd, and people start talking. Hey, did you hear about what happened? And they begin to recount the tale of their fellow countrymen, Galileans, who had died while bringing their offerings up to the temple. It's perhaps in preparation for Passover or some other feast. They're bringing their sheep and their turtle doves to offer them to God himself. And then tragedy struck. Now, they don't know exactly like what was the historical background of this, but it's pretty easy to imagine. These things happened quite a bit where a Jewish person would take offense at something a Roman soldier had done. They would give a complaint, and the Romans looked down on their subjects as lesser people, and using the motto, if you can't make a few omelets, you can't make an omelet without cracking a few eggs. They were pretty quick to grab their swords and start hacking at people. And so we don't know how many people died, but a bunch of friends and family and countrymen were killed in the most brutal way possible. So they're bringing these offerings that are going to go to God himself. They're bringing them to the temple, and they die right alongside. Pretty soon the theological questions start coming. It's like, how could a good God let these people die in this way? After all, they're going to the temple. It's like getting gunned down on your way to church. They're going up to the temple and they get hacked down along with their sacrifices. Their blood is mingled with the sacrifices that they were going to bring. They died like beasts alongside their beasts. And how could a good God let this happen to these people? Now, from Jesus' response, and perhaps this is subtext to the question, was that why had these particular Galileans perished? Was there something wrong with their offering? Was it not like a good enough lamb that they were bringing? Was there a defective turtle dove in the midst that God from heaven looked down and said, bad offering? Or what was there some hidden sin that caused their terrible fate, that God judged them so? Now, this question put to Jesus is a question that you will come across in your Christian life. Why is there so much pain in the world? Why is there so much suffering? What are you to make of it? You hear the news, you hear a terrible story. You don't have to look far for injustice. In Canada, you know, we're contemplating the remains of 215 children found buried at the site of the residential school near Kamloops. Children who died away from family and home. A tragedy to smear on the country of Canada. And it's, you know, it's kind of odd. I hear maybe, I don't hear a lot about these things from maybe more conservative sides of people. And it's interesting because, like, this is, I think, the residential school system is the number one example of government overreach in the history of mankind. Here's the government who thought that they could raise children better than the parents that God gave them. Like, woe to us if we just jump on bandwagons. Back in the days, all the smart scientific people, they said, you know, the smart people, you got to educate those kids. We'll put them in a good school. We'll educate them up. And they ignored God's law, which gave the raising of children to parents. Whenever you ignore God's law, tragedy is sure to follow. Probably things nowadays that we're running headlong into ignoring God's law, and tragedy will not be far behind. History will judge. God will judge for sure. Now, you don't need to turn on the news to find horrible things. You just need to have lived life for long enough to, you know, long enough to look around, have some kid come and punch you in the nose or take your candy. Whether it be being bullied as a child or being abused, being cheated on in a marriage or in a financial deal. This life is a rain of tears and sadness. You know, even though we just got the news, there's a decent chance in about 5 weeks we won't have to wear our masks all the time, which would be really fun. But even as we celebrate that, I think we've kind of gotten through this thing now. There are still people suffering. We have two people on the prayer. We had the people in the prayer requests in a coma. I have my real estate agent. He sold my house back in Piney. He's in a coma, got transferred to Ontario. Complications from COVID. Look around and talk to certain groups of people, and you will see a sea of drug overdoses, bondage to addictions, and oh, there is so much pain in this world. So what does Jesus say in the face of tragedy? And before I get there, it's probably good to note that it doesn't seem in this particular instance Jesus is talking to family members here, that the issue here is more the theological reason about why this thing happened rather than, you know, Jesus dealing with people who are suffering. Because we see that in the Gospels. We see Mary and Martha, and Jesus is moved to tears with compassion at the death of his friend. But here Jesus gives the theological answer to why good things happen to bad people, or bad things happen to good people. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, to repent of your sins, you will all likewise perish. Now, the common but false assumption back in that day was that bad things happen to bad people, good things happen to good people. And Jesus is attacking that notion here, but let's not run past this too quickly, because it's easy to see where they got this idea from. You flip open your Bible to Psalm 91 or many other psalms, many other places that talk about the current life blessings of godly people. Psalm 91:10, no evil shall befall you. It was that bad things happen to bad people, good things happen to good people. And Jesus is attacking that notion here, but let's not run past this too quickly, because it's easy to see where they got this idea from. You flip open your Bible to Psalm 91 or many other psalms, many other places that talk about the current life blessings of godly people. Psalm 91:10, no evil shall befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. I remember back a year ago, I saw people sharing this on social media about the COVID pandemic, and I know some of these same people who ended up getting COVID. Some almost died from it, and those are just people that I knew. Now, I preached a whole sermon back almost a year ago on the false application of this passage. It's called Satan Interprets the Bible. It's also the most popular sermon on YouTube I've ever made. I don't know why. People want to click on that one. And you can look it up for a more intense look about how we understand these promises. But Jesus, in verse 2 of Luke 13, gives the very simple answer. And that is, this promise was for the righteous, and nobody's really righteous. Every single person that walks the face of the earth has enough evil in them for God to justly judge them. And it is only by his mercy at every moment that keeps that judgment from falling upon us. Why do bad things happen to good people? And the fact is, bad things don't happen to good people, because there are not any good people except for God alone. Not from God's standard. In fact, well, bad things happen to a good person once, and that was resulted in the salvation of all mankind. It was Jesus Christ himself. Jesus subverts the expectation here that people who have bad things happen to them are somehow worse, when in fact, when we see those bad things happen to other people, we should consider our own sin and how we deserve a similar fate. It's so easy to fall into the trap of looking down on people who suffer. It's like, this person, they're out of a job, they had this or that happen, and we just think, well, boy, it's a good thing I'm like a good, blessed person here, that everything shines on nicely. But woe to me if I'm going to think of myself as better than another, when God's word says there is no one righteous, not one. Jesus' words show us that our circumstances right now are no indication of God's blessing or curse on our lives. After all, I see a lot of wealthy people riding on their fancy yachts, headed on a highway to hell. Okay, they're yachts, so probably a seaway to hell. Seaway to hell. Okay. And there are many poor men and women who will inherit the kingdom of God. These poor Galileans who have been struck down with their sacrifices served as a warning to every other person that it was time for them to repent or they would likewise perish. And this teaches us that every time we see a tragedy on the news, we see a hurricane come through, we see a flood, we see some terrible injustice perpetuated by us, the Canadian people. This is a warning to us. Repent before the time is too late. Make your peace with Jesus before he brings peace to the earth. Because maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but one day, judgment is coming. One day we will be the tragedy. And even if we escape every essence of cancer or car accident in this life, the judgment of God is coming. And we better make our plea bargain with God now rather than face the judge with no defense. Now Jesus ups the ante. Or on these 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? Now, in the first case, this is an evil man doing an evil thing. In the second case, this is a random, we would call this an act of God. There was a tower at the Pool of Siloam. Maybe it's a defensive tower at the wall. Maybe it's a water tower. But anyways, one day when 18 people were sleeping in their beds, boom, the tower fell on them and they were dead. Jesus says, when you see things like this happen, don't think that they're worse. We see that not only with human-caused evil, but evil that is really caused by nothing more than God's action in the world. We talked about last week the 2004 tsunami which killed 250,000 people in an instant. In 1883, in August, the island of Krakatoa, just 70% of it was gone. A wave from the destruction went 7 times around the world. 36,000 people died all at once. Jesus says, when we see these things, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Every single time we see a tsunami wave or a hurricane or a tornado that goes through someone's house, we don't think as Christians, boy, look at those people, God sent a tornado after them. We think, oh Lord, I deserve the tornado. I need to make my peace with you right now before it's too late. Every single time you see a natural disaster, it is God's gracious invitation for you to make your peace with him before the greatest natural disaster of all time comes, the end of the world or your death before that time. Each one of us has committed enough sin for God to justly recall our soul and to stand before the judgment. So how do we respond to suffering? I want to take this kind of back level, 4 things. One, when we see suffering in the world, our first response should be the same response as Jesus. When we meet it, when we're near it, Luke 7:13, this is about a widow who lost a child. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." We're commanded to weep with those who weep. And so when we see tragedy in the world, our first response is to have compassion on those people, to care for them from our deepest soul. We don't judge those, but we have compassion on those who are suffering under the curse of the world. Secondly, when we see suffering, we should realize, and this goes more for ourselves, is that while Jesus is pointing out how these people didn't do anything particular to deserve this, there are times we suffer because we did something particular to deserve it. You know, if I stayed up last night drinking a case of beer, which I have never done, and I woke up this morning with a ringing headache, something I've also never had, it wouldn't be right for me to be like, oh God, why do I have this headache? Oh, woe is me. How have you cursed me with this thing? It's like, no, it's a warning. Stop drinking so much. Sometimes we're lonely and have difficulty in relationships because we're selfish and we don't think about other people's needs. And so sometimes when we are suffering, and this is one of the things, our triage, when you're suffering, think, have I done anything sinful to cause this? And oftentimes the answer is yes. Thirdly, we should see that suffering is often not specifically deserved. Now it can be, but in this case where Jesus shows us it is not a specific judgment for a specific sin, these people are just as bad as anyone else. This is why we should have compassion. This is why we should not race to judgment when we see bad things happen to people. Fourth, suffering is a warning to repent and believe the gospel. Suffering, when we see it, is a warning that this world is under the curse of sin from God. And God has worked his way in this world, so that it is a reminder every time we see a cancer diagnosis or a hurricane that sin is still reigning, evil is still happening. And until the day when God wipes it away, it is a reminder for us to repent of our sins and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because human ingenuity will not give us an answer for sin. Apologies will not give an answer for sin. The only way that we get out of this whole disaster that we're in is by faith in Jesus Christ and by him coming to set this world free by his power and his power alone. And so we weep when we see suffering, we consider ourselves, but we also look to Jesus Christ, the one who can forgive us from our sins, who can free us day by day as we follow him, and who will finally set the world free. I'm going to let Jesus close us here with a little parable. And he told this parable: a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? So I'm going to tell you what Jesus is doing here. The fig tree is the people listening. God has given them all of this time in order for them to turn to God and produce fruit from repentance to believe in Jesus Christ. And yet, this is the great news, that God is still patient. God is still merciful, because it says, and he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also. Give it one more year until I dig around it and put on manure. And then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. in this gracious time, God has given us reprieve. God has given us an opportunity to find repentance, and even every evil thing that we weep about in the world is another reminder to come to Him before it's too late. Because God has given us a reprieve now, but that reprieve will not last forever. And judgment will come. Jesus Christ is the good man, the only one, who took all of the bad things to Himself on the cross so that we, the bad people, could inherit all of the good things of God. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, I pray that each person here would respond to Your gospel before it's too late. That we would see the warning and the pain of this world to turn to God, who offers us a world so better, so much better and so much purer than this one. We look to You, Lord Jesus Christ, as our only hope. I pray that every heart would turn and find You, would say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I no longer want to live for myself and my sin, but I want to live for You. God, help us and have mercy on us until we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'd like to invite up the worship team for our closing song.